It's been a long day for Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, spruiking the budget ahead of an election announcement, possibly as soon as the end of this week. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg joins me now. Treasurer, welcome.
Nice to be with you, Patricia.
So last night at 9 p.m, you said that New Start recipients wouldn't be getting this allocation, this one-off payment. And then all of a sudden this morning that had changed. Did you make a mistake?
No, what we wanted to do is to ensure that we got assistance to those people who had cost of living pressures, who were on payments such as the age pension, the disability support payment, pension, the carers payment, as well as others. There was 3.9 million people. And then we made a decision last night to extend it to Newstart. Now, Newstart is a different type of payment, for example, to the disability support pension, because 99% of people who are on Newstart are actually getting another form of payment, for example, a parenting payment or a family tax benefit. At the same time, two-thirds of people who are on Newstart move off it into a job within 12 months, and that's not insignificant, where it's very different to, example, the pension, where people stay on it for a long period of time.
Okay, do you accept, though, that it was a mistake not to include them in the first place? Because you published a budget, it wasn't in there, and now you've had to backflip. In fact, you've been mopping it up all day.
Well, I don't accept the premise of that question. I think what we've done is we've provided an important payment, $75 to singles, $125 to couples, which will go towards easing the cost of living pressures and meeting the quarterly energy bill. In the scheme of things of the whole budget, it's a relatively small measure. It doesn't affect the 1920 surplus year, which is $7.1 billion. And the big message out of last night's budget is that we will strengthen the economy, secure a better future for all Australians by bringing the budget back into surplus, by outlining a plan of lower taxes, investment in skills, and a $100 billion infrastructure agenda, while also guaranteeing in record amounts funding for schools, hospitals, aged care, disability, and other important initiatives.
What was the rationale for changing your original decision then?
We wanted to secure the passage through the Parliament, and we have done that. We wanted people to get the money before the end of this financial year, as was our original intention.
So your original plan is your favourite plan. It's just that you had to change it to be pragmatic.
Look, I think this is money that is well spent. I think $80 million of additional money going to people who are obviously in need too. They're on different types of payments, it has to be said. And that was the rationale for our original decision. But we are now in a situation where the bill has gone through the lower house, and I think, you know, people will get the money before the end of the financial year, and this is acknowledging the cost of living pressures that they are feeling. But from last night's budget, there's a very big message about the initiatives that we're undertaking, that we're growing the economy, that with our decisions of the past to restrain spending have now produced the surplus, and of course we're guaranteeing those essential services.
If you're just tuning in, this is RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis, and my guest tonight is the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. 0418 226 576 is our text line. Tim Wilson told me a little earlier that the government has no plans to increase Newstart over the next 4 years. Given employers, welfare groups, Arthur Sinodinos, who's a senator in this parliament, and John Howard, a former prime minister, all think it should increase, is it worth looking at?
Well, it does go up twice a year. It's indexed in March and September.
No, but I mean fundamentally the payment, not just the indexation.
Oh, well, look, obviously we have to make lots of decisions in the context of preparing a budget. Where we're focused on is investing in jobs programs, and we announced a number of new ones which are helping the most disadvantaged people in our community, including setting up 10 training hubs in regional areas where there's high youth unemployment. We're reprioritising the job services program to give particular tailored support for people who are particularly disadvantaged and who need the assistance in developing the skills for the job market. And then there's $500 million into our overall skills package, which will create 80,000 new apprenticeships and help fill some of the shortages that we see in the jobs market.
Real wage growth has consistently been below Treasury forecasts. Why should we believe that this time Treasury has gotten it right?
Well, wages have started to increase, and that's the word from the Reserve Bank, and that's also the proof of the Wages Prices Index, which is the euphemism for wage growth, and that's 2.3%. That's above inflation. And it's reflecting that the labour market's becoming tighter and there's more competition for workers. And the Reserve Bank governor has said that in all industries and in all states, wages have started to lift. Now, the key to lifting wages is through greater productivity, and it's also through creating more jobs. It's not through higher taxes. And so the Labor Party might try to talk a big game about lifting wages, but they're actually promising the Australian people $200 billion of new taxes. And that will, in fact, suppress economic activity across the economy, and that will actually lower wages and create less jobs growth. So there is a contrast between the two sides.
But Treasury forecasts on wages have been consistently wrong. Can you explain how Treasury reached its wage growth forecast when unemployment isn't expected to drop and productivity is not rising?
Well, actually, the Treasury forecast, the RBA forecast for employment growth is strong. They're predicting unemployment to remain at 5%. It's currently 4.9%. But their estimates, their forecasts are based on comprehensive industry consultation analysis of all the data from various different sources. And they look at what's happening in the jobs market and they extrapolate the results out of that. When it comes to our overall performance what is called the final budget outcome following budgets, we've actually outperformed in the last two budgets quite significantly in terms of bringing the deficit lower than what was expected. And that's why we're very confident that the $7.1 billion will be delivered and it will be the first surplus in more than a decade.
There aren't many cuts in this budget. It's a very friendly budget, not much slashing and burning. Does that mean that you think that the overall fiscal conservative project, that budget repair process, is now over? If you are re-elected and you become treasurer again, will you be looking to find more cuts?
Well, I'm always looking to grow the economy because the budget's not about...
But I asked you about whether you'd be looking to find more cuts, find more savings, because there's not a lot of that in this budget, but that has traditionally been something that your brand of politics has argued for.
Well, Patricia, actually have found savings. That's why we've got a surplus. We've also got more people in work, which means there are more people paying tax. But ultimately, there are less people on welfare. There's the lowest number of people of working age who are on welfare today than in the last 30 years, and that's a significant achievement. And spending growth has fallen to about half of what we inherited. So that is something that has seen us have the lowest rate of spending growth in the last 50 years. So I think it is a prudent and responsible budget. I think it's consistent with Liberal values as backs small business. It returns taxpayers' money to them with substantial tax cuts. And of course, it's got budget repair first and foremost, because that's an issue of equity and fairness. If you keep borrowing on the nation's credit card, then the interest bill continues to go up.
But if you are re-elected...
You have less money for essential services.
But Treasurer, if you are re-elected after the May poll and you become Treasurer again, will you be looking for more fiscal repair in following budgets?
We're not looking for cuts. What we're looking for is to strengthen the Australian economy. What we're looking to do is to ensure that it grows, that people find jobs, and that we can be the envy of the world.
And so you'll promise in the election, I really want to nail this down, that there won't be any cuts under a re-elected Morrison-Frydenberg government?
Well, we are absolutely focused on targeted spending. It's not, you know, you're speaking about something which is not before the government. What is before the government, and the most recent statement, and it's a comprehensive statement of our economic plan and the details of our economic policies, was put to the people last night with the budget. That is $500 billion of spending and $500 billion of revenue and $7.1 billion of surplus. That is the document that maps out the economic plan for the country. And it really comprises three separate parts. The fiscal strategy, which is $45 billion of surpluses over the next 4 years, and paying back government net debt by 2030. It's the pathway to further economic growth, which is the tax infrastructure and skills story. And then there's the social dividend for the community, which is the record spending on hospitals and schools, the mental health and youth suicide prevention, the domestic violence programs, the respite for carers. That's all in that budget, and that is what is going to drive the economy and our society forward.
Treasurer, you began your press club address today telling a very personal story of a staff member of yours and his issues around mental health. Why did you decide to do that? You said this, the mental health package was not sort of focused on and you wanted it to be, the package announced in the budget. Do you feel like the sort of story around tax and the messages around that have overshadowed that other part of your budget?
Well, I think budgets are made up of, you know, lots of initiatives across lots of areas, just as societies and economies are. But the issue of youth suicide is one that is a tragedy for the nation. You know, to know that 8 people take their lives each day is just a tragedy for them and obviously for their families. And 6 of those are men. And in the years between 2017 and 2018, the number increased by 9%. So clearly we as a country, as a government, need to do better, and this is something that the Prime Minister is also driving. But what I announced last night in the budget, and this is bipartisan, this is an issue, it doesn't matter what your political hue is, you care about it. And what we announced was a series of measures to get tailored support into Indigenous communities, to get perinatal support, early psychosis treatment, 30 new headspace centres, reduce waiting lists, and it's an across-the-board comprehensive strategy. Well, late last night, you know, after all the interviews had been done and going around the Parliament speaking at different functions, one of my staff members came and saw me, and he said he wanted to tell me his personal journey. And since his early 20s, he has been dealing with acute depression. And at one stage, he was thinking of taking his own life so tragically. Fortunately, he got the help that he needed, and he has lived through it and is raising a wonderful family. But his story is no different to many, many others in our community. They live a life of quiet desperation, and we need to get them the help that they need. And I'm very proud of that aspect of the budget.
Treasurer, just a final question, not on the budget, but on something that the Australian newspaper is reporting, and that's that the Australian Electoral Commission has registered Fraser Anning's new political party, which of course will be controversial, and that he plans to run candidates. What do you make of that? Is that a sort of serious threat given the kind of statements he's made? In fact, just today he was censured.
Well, I haven't seen those reports, but obviously there should be zero tolerance for the views that Fraser Anning has indicated. He doesn't speak for any other member of Parliament. It was completely unacceptable in the wake of, you know, the horrors of Christchurch. And I think Australia has come together with our friends and family in New Zealand following that tragic attack and the loss of life. And what we really need to focus on our community is building tolerance, building acceptance. And the people who should be leading from the front are the people in this building, in Parliament House. And clearly Fraser Anning hasn't done that.
Treasurer, thank you for joining me.
Good to be with you.